James chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. If you're just joining us today, we are slowly working our way through this wonderful book, verse by verse and chapter by chapter this summer. I'm going to ask that whenever you find your place there in James, that you would stand with me this morning as we honor the reading of the beautiful, incredible, perfect, and infallible Word of God. James chapter 2, starting in verse 1, says this: "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears fine clothing and say, 'You sit here in a good place,' while you say to the poor man, 'You stand over there,' or 'Sit down at my feet,' have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called?" Verse 8. "If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself,' you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of it, of all of it. For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not murder.' If you do not commit adultery but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law." Verse 12. "So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." Would you pray with me? And God, we come before your throne this morning, and we just want to say thank you for your beautiful word. God, your beautiful word that is a constant foundation in our life. God, the beautiful word that is there to lead us, that is there to guide us in an ever-changing world. God, your word that reflects who you are, your love, God, your kindness, your mercy, but also at the same time, it reflects, God, your judgment. It does reflect, God, your wrath. And God, we just ask and pray today that you would just prepare our hearts and our minds and our lives, Lord, to what you would have to say to us today. God, thank you so much for your word. We just ask and pray that you would speak to us. And God, you know every single person in this place today, for every person that's watching online, but for every single hurt, for every single concern, but for every single need. And Lord, we just ask and pray today that you would meet us right where we are at. God, we just want to hear your voice. God, we want to leave this place today that having encountered the living God through your word. God, we love you, we love you, we love you. Speak to our hearts at this moment. We love you, God. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. So in this section of scripture that we are looking at this morning, James is more than likely addressing a situation of favoritism that is being shown to the rich in a church worship service. Some say that it could have been a situation where two people were in dispute with one another, like in some sort of a legal proceeding, but more than likely it had to do with what was happening in worship. And James points out in these first few verses, and you can write this down, he points out that discrimination is sin. Discrimination is sin. James says again in verse 1, he says, "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory." And this word partiality that James uses here, it means to receive the face, which means to make a judgment about someone based on their external appearance. So he says, show no partiality to anybody. Verse 2, he says, "For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears fine clothing and say, 'You sit here in a good place,' while you say to the poor man, 'You stand over there,' or 'Sit down at my feet,' have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" So we can see here in this text that which is going on. The rich They would come into a worship service, or they would come into some sort of assembly, and they were being given special treatment. They were being given the good places to sit in the assembly, in the worship service. They were being shown favoritism, and it says here that the ones with shabby clothing, which means those who were extremely poor, those who were extremely destitute, they were asked to stand or to sit on the floor at the feet of the other worshipers. You see, the Jewish believers, they were discriminating against the poor based on what they looked like on the outside. And James says that by these believers doing this, that they are judging the poor, and he says that that is evil, he says at the end of verse 4. And then he says, starting in verse 5, he says, "Listen, my beloved brothers, has God not chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him?" So James is saying to these Jewish believers that they are discriminating against people who are heirs of the kingdom of God. And he's saying if they too are heirs of the kingdom of God, then they should not be discriminated against based on what they look like on the outside. Verse 6, he says, "But you have dishonored the poor." Are not the rich into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? And we can see in this text that the rich during this time, they were using, of course, their resources, they were using their money, they were using their wealth and their power, they were using all of that to oppress the poor. And James says as well that they're oppressing you, and at the same time, they're blaspheming God. And James is saying to these Jewish believers, he's saying, you are honoring these people who are persecuting you and who are oppressing you, and you are discriminating against the poor because of their external appearance. And these Jewish believers were more than likely doing this because they were trying to gain some sort of favor with the rich people who were in this area. And James is saying to these people, these Jewish believers who were discriminating, he's saying, to not notice what has been going on in our nation these past several months regarding race. And this is nothing that is new. You see, this is something that has been going on for centuries. People being judged and discriminated against based on their external appearance. And the application for us, really this morning, church family, is quite simple. The application is this: discrimination against another human being based on their external appearance is sin. That's the application for you and I today. I'm gonna say the application again. Discrimination against another human being based on their external appearance is sin. You see, judging someone or treating someone different because they are poor and in ragged clothing, or even rich and in nice clothing, or judging someone or treating someone different because they are black, or because they are white, or because they are Latino, or because they are Indian, or because they are Asian, or because they are Middle Eastern, or because they are European. Judging someone or treating someone different because of what they look like on the outside is sin. You see, it goes against the heart of God. It goes against the God. Paul says, "For God shows no partiality," Romans chapter 2. And if God shows no partiality, neither should believers in Christ. Paul also says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." We can say this verse like this this morning: in God's eyes, There is neither poor or rich. In God's eyes, there is neither black or white. In God's eyes, there is neither Indian or Asian. In God's eyes, there is neither American or Middle Eastern. We are all one in Jesus Christ. 1 Samuel 16, I love this verse. The Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And if God looks past the outward appearance on all people and sees their hearts, so should believers in Jesus Christ. You see, church family, as James mentioned a few moments ago, the same opportunity that you and I have to be heirs of the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ, that same opportunity is available for all people, no matter what their external appearance looks like. Paul also says, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ is for all who believe, for there is no distinction. Again, the application for you and I this morning is quite simple. Discrimination against another person based on what they look like on the outside is sin. And I believe with all my heart that all of us in this room, that we believe that this morning. We believe this truth that we see in the Word of God. What if you know someone that's in your sphere of influence, your friends, in your social clubs, in your family, what if you know someone that does not believe this truth, that discrimination is sin that is found in the Word of God? You see, as followers of Jesus Christ, we must stand upon this truth from the Word of God, no matter what it might cost us. Even if it does cost us some family, or friends, or our jobs, or even our lives. The application for us this morning is quite simple. We see that discrimination is sin. Therefore, what are we called to do? Well, James addresses that. He addresses what we as believers are called to do. And you can write this down. James tells us that Christians are called to love every person as Jesus Christ loves every person. Christians are called to love every person as Jesus Christ loves every person. He says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. He says, then you are doing well. But if you show partiality, that's our word, that's the key word here. If you show partiality, which means discrimination, he says, you are committing sin. You are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law that fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. And if you do not commit adultery, but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So James says to these believers that when they show favoritism based on one's external appearance, again, he says that they are sinning and that they are breaking the entire law of God. And he tells these believers that instead of discriminating against another person based on their outward appearance, he says that they are to fulfill the royal law of Scripture, which is to love their neighbor as they would their self. I'm sure many of you guys have seen stories like this or pictures like this on the internet. Some of my favorite things to see are how different types of animals can come to love each other. We see this picture, dogs and elephants loving each other. We see a lion and a skunk loving each other. We see chicken and puppies loving each other. We see a lion and a tiger and a bear loving each other. We see a dog and his duck loving each other. I love this next one. We see a dog and a hedgehog loving each other as well. And as silly as this illustration is, it really helps us to understand what James is talking about here. It's quite simple. Christians are called to love all people, no matter what they look like on the outside. And as James says here, this is the royal law of Scripture. He says that this is the greatest command in the Bible. A Pharisee asked Jesus, "Teacher, which is the greatest command in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. He says, this is the great and first commandment. Then a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourselves. And James says that whenever believers do this, whenever they fulfill this law to love others as they would themselves, he is saying to them, he's saying, you're doing well. You're doing well. And Jesus, he illustrates this call to love others in the story of the Good Samaritan. You see, during the day of Jesus, Jews and Samaritans, they were not like each other. As a matter of fact, Jews and Samaritans, they hated each other. Remember the story, it says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side, but a Samaritan, someone who wasn't like him, someone who didn't look like him, someone whose people hated each other. A Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. And then Jesus says, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And he said, to the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. And Jesus says the same thing to you and I. Jesus says the same thing to you and I. He says to you and I, you go and do likewise. Love others as I love others. Love the person who has a different skin color than you. Love the person who has a different ethnicity than you. Love the person who has different clothing than you. Love the person who is in a different economic class than you. Love the person who lives in a different country than you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And if God so loves the world, not just part of the world, but if God so loves the world, all people, and gave his one and only son to die for the world, then we too, as followers of Christ, should love all people as our God loves all people. Then we too, as followers of Jesus Christ, should love all people as Jesus, the Son of God, loves all people. So we see in this text that discrimination against anyone based on their outward appearance is sin. Therefore, Christians are called to love every person as Jesus Christ loves every person. And this last point, it comes from New Testament scholar Craig Longberg. He writes, and you can write this down, Christians are called to live their lives in a way that is consistent with God's coming judgment. This point is all these points do. James says, so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. What in the world is James talking about here? This text means that when Christians are one day judged by God, that they will not be judged based on whether or not they could keep the Old Testament law perfectly. Teaching that Christians will be judged according to the law of liberty. Well, the law of liberty is the law of Jesus Christ. What is that? The law of liberty is Christ is love. It's forgiveness. It's what Jesus practiced. It's what Jesus preached. It's love. It's forgiveness. It's showing kindness to others. It's showing compassion to others. It's showing mercy to others. It's serving others. It's dying to oneself and giving up one's life for others. That is the law of liberty. That is the law of Christ. And what James is teaching here is this, is that Christians will one day be judged by God based on this law of liberty as taught by Christ. Did they love others? Did they offer forgiveness to others? Did they offer mercy to others, as we see in the parable of the Good Samaritan? Did they show compassion to others? Did they cast down judgment on others? Did they show kindness and gentleness to others? Did they serve others? Did they help other people? Did they give up their lives to other people? Again, James is saying that Christians will be judged according to the way they kept the law of Christ. And most theologians that I read this past week said that this verse, verse 12, is not talking about judgment based on one going to heaven or hell. You see, when James wrote this, he was writing to believers in Christ. He was writing to Christians. Instead, this verse is talking about being judged for eternal reward in heaven, which the Bible so often speaks about. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Jesus himself says, "Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done." So this text is not talking about whether one is going to heaven or hell. No, it's talking about judgment based on what one will one day receive in eternity, based on them following and obeying the law of Christ, the law of liberty. As James says here, so speak and act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. You see, obeying the law of liberty, which is the law of Christ, law, the law of love, this should not be a burden for Christians, church family. It should not be a burden to show others love, to show others kindness, to show others compassion, to show others mercy, to give up ourselves for another person, to serve another human being. This should not be a burden. It should be the overflow of a Christian's heart. I love what John Trapp says. He says, "It is also called a law of liberty because it is freely and willingly kept of the regenerate, to whom it is no burden or bondage." And then, verse 13, to close off this section, James says, "For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy." He says, mercy triumphs over judgment. In other words, mercy is the greatest thing that we could ever do for another human being. Instead of judging them, instead of casting down judgment on them, the greatest thing that we could possibly do for another human being is to show them mercy, is to show them kindness, is to show them love, is to show them compassion. Again, James says, "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy." And we can't skip over this verse this morning, church family. This verse, it means exactly what it says. If a person does not live according to the law of liberty, by showing others love and forgiveness and compassion and kindness and gentleness and mercy, what this verse is saying is that if they do not live according to that law, the law of Christ, this verse is teaching that they will not receive mercy in judgment because they are not truly regenerate, because they are not truly born again. MacArthur writes, "A person who shows no mercy and compassion in need demonstrates that he has never responded to the great mercy of God, and as an unredeemed person will receive only strict, unrelieved judgment in eternal hell. The person whose life is characterized by mercy is ready for the day of judgment and will escape all the charges that strict justice might bring against him, because by showing mercy to others, he gives genuine evidence of having received God's mercy." Again, we sang about that just a few moments ago. Why do we show mercy and love and kindness and compassion to all people? Because of the mercy and kindness and love and compassion and forgiveness that our God has given to us. And all of this gets us back to James chapter 1, verse 22, which is the dominant theme in this book, where James says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And the one who does not do the word, and James is, again, talking about ways to do the word, is by loving others and showing others the law of liberty. The one who does not do the word of God is deceived into thinking that they are a Christian. And again, James says that you and I can do the word of God whenever the law of liberty, which is the law of Christ, which is the commands of Christ, by loving others, by offering forgiveness to others, by showing compassion to others, by not judging others, by giving up our lives for others, by showing mercy to others. If you want to read more about this, I encourage you to write these two chapters of Scripture down. I'm not going to read them. Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 through 35. Matthew 18, 23 through 35. And also Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. These are two great stories that illustrate what James is talking about here. Jesus talked about the exact same thing. That whenever we show, whenever we receive the love and kindness of God, we will show kindness and love and mercy to others. These are the stories of the unmerciful servant and the story of the sheep and the goats. And I encourage you to go and read those stories if you never have. So this text, it teaches us that discrimination is sin. It also teaches us that Christians are called to love every person, just as Jesus Christ loves you. Just as Jesus Christ has shown love and kindness to you. As Jesus Christ loves every person. And Christians are called to live their lives in a way that is consistent with God's coming judgments, as James calls us to live our lives according to the law of liberty. So how can we do this? In this application, it's very similar to what I gave us last week. How can we do this as followers of Jesus Christ? How can we not discriminate? How can we not judge other people? How can we love every person as Jesus Christ loves every person? How can we live in a way that is consistent with what God's Word says as He calls us to love other people? How can we do this? Well, and you can write this down. The very first step is this. It's to receive salvation by trusting in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. I want to speak this to us, but I'm also speaking this broadly, also to our world. You see, church family, the only cure for racism, for discrimination, is Jesus Christ. That's the only cure. The only cure is Jesus Christ. The only cure for us loving the world is Jesus Christ living inside of us, living by the Spirit of God. Why is this the very first step? Why is the very first step to not discriminating against others and loving every person as Jesus Christ loves every person? Why is this the first step? Because we need Jesus. Why do we need Jesus? We need Jesus because of sin. What is sin? Sin, that's those mistakes in our life that we've made. The Bible says that we've all sinned. We all have this sin in our life. And the only cure to this sin is Jesus. It's receiving Christ as Lord. The Bible says that the wages of this sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And again it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And whenever we receive this redemption, this love, this kindness, and this mercy that is given to us, we then, in turn, we take and we show that love and that exact same kindness and that exact same mercy to the world. You see, salvation is the very first step. We cannot love others in our own flesh. It's only through the Spirit of God living inside of us and through us. You see, whenever we come to receive Christ as Lord, The Bible teaches us that the Spirit of God comes to dwell and live inside of us. As a matter of fact, Paul said that in Ephesians 1. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. In other words, whenever the Spirit of God comes to live inside of you, and it's the Spirit of God that enables you and I to love other people the way that Christ loves other people. You see that? You see, the fruit of that Spirit that's living inside of us is love. It's joy. It's peace. It's patience. It's kindness. It's goodness. It's faithfulness. All against such things, there is no law. The very first step to us loving other people as Christ loved other people is by trusting in Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of my sin. Next, what do? After we receive Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God comes to dwell inside of us and we depend on the Spirit of God to love other people as Christ loves other people, we consistently look to Jesus as my example. Who was the perfect example of loving all people the same? Who was it? It was Jesus Christ. God, we look to him. We look to his example. And where do we find his example? We find his example in the Word of God, in the Gospels. In the Word of God, we see how Jesus Christ loved all people. And we emulate Jesus Christ. Paul writes, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in what? Walk in love as Christ loved us. We walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You see, Jesus Christ is the perfect example of loving everyone the same. Jesus Christ, he loved the sinner. He loved the leper. He loved the Samaritan. He loved the demon-possessed. He loved the poor. He loved the rich. He loved the old person. He loved children. He even loved those who took his life. We look to Jesus Christ as our example. We love others like Jesus Christ loves others. Before he's going to the cross, he's washing his disciples' feet. He's getting ready to go and to pay the penalty for sin. He's washing his disciples' feet, and he says to them, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And this means all people, no matter what they look like or on the outside. Love one another. We look to Jesus Christ as our example after we have received Jesus Christ as Lord. And lastly, as we live our daily lives, living out this call. Actually, I have two more points. One's not in your bulletin, so hold on. We live in total dependence on Jesus. Again, this is the Spirit of God that's living inside of us. As we trust in Christ as Lord, we depend on that Spirit to not judge our neighbor, to not show discrimination to our neighbor, to not speak evil or mean things against that person who is difficult to love. We depend on Jesus Christ every single day. Again, you cannot do it in your own flesh. It's by utter dependence on Jesus. Jesus has abided in me. That means remain. That means stay. And I am you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you remain, unless you stay, unless you abide in me. He says, I am the vine. Whoever remains in me, whoever stays with me, and I am him. I am him. It is. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We can't love others like we're supposed to apart from walking with Jesus Christ. It's impossible. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So, we look to Jesus as our example. We see the way that he loved others. We live in total dependence on Jesus. And then lastly, I want you to write this down. It's not in your bulletin, but I want to encourage you to write it down. What should we do? We thank God daily the mercy that He has given us. I should thank God daily for the mercy that He has given me. In just a few moments, we're going to stand back to our feet, and we're just going to sing this song that Devin introduced to us a few moments ago. His mercy is more. And I just want to say that to you today. This morning, church family, I need to hear this, and you need to hear this. His mercy is more for you today. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He offers you forgiveness. He offers you kindness. He offers you compassion. He offers you grace today. He's not judging you today. He loves you. His mercy is more for you today. Therefore, whenever we stand in just a few moments and we sing that song, I just want to encourage you to sing that song out, thanking God for His wonderful mercy, thanking God for His wonderful kindness. And as we sing that song in just a few moments, let's ask God, God, help me. As You've shown the same kindness and mercy and grace to me through Your Son, Jesus Christ, God, help me to offer that exact same mercy and that exact same kindness and that exact same love to other people. God, help me to do the same thing as You have loved me. Give out your hands with me this evening. Maybe you're in this place today and you've never done this first point that we talked about, receiving salvation by trusting Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. Again, why do you need Jesus? Well, we need Jesus because of our sin. All the Bible points us to Jesus. It points us to the coming Son of God. Why did He come? He came to die for sin. And the Bible also teaches that He's coming back. He's coming back for His people. He's coming back for His church, for those who have trusted in Christ, for the forgiveness of their sin. This morning, you can do that. You can place your faith and your trust in Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. How do you do that? Well, the Bible says that you call on Him from your heart in Romans 10. You come to the realization that you are a sinner. You believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin. You confess that He is Lord, and you commit your life to Him. You receive the gift of salvation through Christ alone. Would you do that this morning? There's no magical words you pray. It's simply by faith that you call on Him, and you can do that right in your seat. And if you've done that and you've never told anybody, or you do that today, I encourage you to come up after we're done today. There'll be a group of people who want to pray with you and pray over you. Would you just tell them then? Or would you write it on your Connect card and give it to our welcome table in the service? Would you just not let us know if you've trusted in Christ and you've never told somebody? Maybe you've done that and you've never followed that up with believer's baptism. What's baptism? Well, it's a symbolic act that shows the church, that shows the world that you are a follower of Christ. Would you tell somebody today that you would like to be baptized? Jesus, we need You. The only cure to discrimination, the only cure to loving others the way Jesus loves others is Jesus Christ. And we thank You so much for just the example that we see in Scripture of how Jesus Christ loved all people. He did not discriminate. He loved all people, no matter what, no matter their past, no matter their skin color, no matter their country, no matter their ethnicity. That He loved all people, and therefore we look to Christ today. We want to love all people the way that Jesus Christ loves all people. We want to love all people because of the great love and mercy and kindness, God, that You have shown us. Thank You so much for Your love and Your kindness, God. We just want to thank You and give You worship and give You praise today because of that same mercy and kindness. And Father, help us as the people of God to continue to live this out in this world that desperately needs to see believers loving the world. God, use our church, use us, Father, the glory and the advancement of Your kingdom, of Your gospel. As we do this, as we live out this gospel, as we live out the law of Christ by loving others, by showing compassion and forgiveness and kindness and mercy, God, would You just use us, Lord, to reach the world with the gospel? God, would You use us to spark about a great revival in this community and in this land? God, would You use us as we love other people? Would you allow, God, your love and your kindness to radiate from us, your people, the people of this body of Christ? Would you use us, Lord, to advance your kingdom, oh God? Help us to understand what's right. Even when it's difficult. Even when it goes against our natural flesh, loving others. Help us to understand that in Christ, it's worth it. And that you have a great plan. Plans, God, for the world, whenever we show the world the love of Christ. Because of what we show. So we love you, God. We worship you, God. We worship you. Amen. Amen. Church family, would you stand to your feet and sing this?